Danielle,
Hello.
thanks for joining me. We have some big news this week or last week. We both have new puppies.
We do.
So let's start with your puppy's name and breed.
Okay, so my puppy is Bug. He's a working cocker spaniel. He's technically my sister Natalie's. But we live together, so we share our dogs. But she will be the one handling him mostly and nose work, etc. But obviously, I'm going to have a lot of fun training him.
Yes. And my puppy's name is Flair, and he is also a working cocker spaniel, and he is Bug's sibling.
Yes, they are both golden and beautiful.
They are, they're very cute. And my puppy's currently staying with Danielle and Natalie as well, while my foster kittens are getting better. So I'm very grateful for that. So I know a lot of other people have taken the Christmas break as a and the little bit of extra time off to bring puppies into the household. So I thought we'd take this opportunity to do a podcast on some socialization. And when we talk about socialization for puppies, I thought we'd just start out sort of I guess describing what we mean by socialization. What do you think of when you talking about socialization for puppies?
So for me, socialization is simply exposure. So it's just exposing your puppy to the world they are going to live in, whether it's being around people, being around dogs and other animals, being out and about, traveling in cars, getting used to smells and sights and sounds and anything they're going to encounter throughout their lives. Is to me what the socialization period is. It's just getting them used to this crazy world we live in.
Yeah, I think that's really important that it's like traditionally we used to think of socialization as just socializing your dog with other dogs.
Yes. And I think
And
many people still think that that is predominantly what socialization is. But to be honest, meeting other dogs is just should be a very tiny part of your socialization plan, I think.
yes, I agree. And it's giving your dog the confidence to be in all of those other environments or meeting people or whatever it is and being comfortable
And I think
in
that
those
that is the key
situations.
part because it's not just putting your puppy out there, it's really understanding that they are creating positive associations and feeling comfortable and confident throughout all the things that you throw at them.
So both our puppies are 11 weeks old. What sort of age do you think the most of, like when should you start socializing your puppy?
Well, I think that, your breeder should have started socializing your puppy when they had them. Basically, as soon as puppies like can sense things and can go out and explore the world, they're being socialized, so it's already started whether you're prepared for it or not. As soon as you bring them home, they're being socialized to your household, to the sounds and the comings and goings and the people and other animals in your house. And so in terms of sort of taking your dog out and about into the world, I think generally, if I bring home an 8-week-old puppy, I spend the first week getting to know them, getting them used to the house. Then I'll start to slowly take them out into the world. But once they have their second shot around 10 weeks, that's kind of when I start to be a bit more sort of proactive and taking them out and about. But again, socialization isn't just drag your puppy around everywhere and, just plop them into places. Like you kind of have to be a bit more thoughtful and considered about what you're doing.
Okay, so on that note, what are some skills that you might need to take with you when you start to do some of this intentional socialization?
Okay, so in terms of intentional socialization, I think you actually need to look at it in terms of your puppy skills and also your skills. So in terms of your puppy skills, I think that first and foremost, they need to be comfortable wearing whatever equipment they're in. So like a collar or a harness. You know, you don't want to have your puppy at home, decide you're going to take him out, and then that's the moment when you shove a harness on them and they're like, what is this thing around my body? So get your puppy used to wearing whatever they're going to be wearing when out and about. That's probably the one of the basic skills that your pup needs. Being attached to the leash is a part of that. Personally, I use a harness at this age because you put a leash on the collar and you know your puppy is suddenly jerking around themselves around and the collar's tightening around their neck and stuff. So it's not super fun for puppies. And when I'm thinking about trying to create positive associations, I don't necessarily want them feeling frustrated and uncomfortable. So I like to use a harness
Mm,
at least
yeah,
first
that's
few
good
weeks.
advice. It puts a lot of pressure on their necks too at that age. So.
So get your pup comfortable before you head out. Secondly, what are ways that we can increase the positivity when we're out and about? So that is interacting with you, using food, playing with toys. Okay, so those are the things that you kind of need to have a sort of basic understanding between you and your puppy, because you're going to use those things to create the behaviors and the emotions that you want when you're going out into the world.
And you sort of want to build up on those a little bit before, as in, so you mean having a cue for your dog when they're going to get
It
food
doesn't
delivered?
necessarily even need to be a cue, although you can use your marker word like a yes or something like that. So you can get your pup used to hearing yes, orienting to you and getting a food reward. But to be honest, like some puppies will come and like not understand how to eat food from your hand. You know what I mean? So like just that basic mechanics of can I deliver food to this puppy's mouth and will my puppy eat it is important. Also, I like to use like food on the ground and food tosses. That is something I need to teach puppies because they need to understand to follow the food as it's being thrown or to take it off the ground if you put it on the ground. As well as all of that, you also need to know what your puppy likes to eat. Because I will say that Nettle, my previous puppy, wouldn't eat a lot of food out and about. I don't think that's a problem with these boys that we have at the moment. But Nettle, when she was going through her socialization stuff, I pretty much had to have like roast chicken with me. And that's something that I learned through trial and error because a lot of the other food she just wasn't interested in when we were out in exciting environments.
Everything else was higher value.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Okay,
I
that's good
think that,
advice.
yeah, and I think so. I
That's
think that's one of
amazing.
the foundations is knowing that you've got good stuff on you that's going to be relevant to your puppy.
And all of that takes a little bit of preparation, doesn't it?
Absolutely. At a basic level, though, if your puppy's not into food, you can still use toys at this age. Like most puppies go silly over toys. So when I'm taking my puppy out and about, I'll always have a bunch of their favorite toys on me. So if I want to go sit in a park and just chill out, I've got stuff to create that positive, happy emotion and interaction with me.
So, how do you think the best way to expose puppies to new places and strange environments?
So, I think that when it comes to socialization, you know, the strange environments is part of it. We also have to consider the whatever is happening there. So it isn't just take your dog to a place. It's take your dog to a place and consider, are there going to be people there? Are there going to be other dogs there? Is there going to be stuff happening, right? You don't want to just take your puppy out and it's suddenly like, you know, Boxing Day sales at Bunnings. Would be a bit crazy, right? You want to kind of gradually ease your puppy into this stuff.
Some progression is what you're saying.
And I think I mentioned that when we're talking about foundation skills, There's the puppy skills, but there's also your skills. And as well as being able to deliver food, I think actually one of the biggest skills that we need to consider in ourselves is our ability to read our puppy's body language.
Right.
Because that is the only way we're going to go around socializing our puppy effectively, is understanding if they are truly feeling comfortable or if there is discomfort and uncertainty.
So it's not just about ticking the box that you're exposing your dog to all of these things. It's
No.
exposing them to something in the right progression and making sure that they're comfortable with that level of exposure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So like when you said what locations, where, how do you go about it? I think you just got to think about what you've already started to learn about your puppy from the moment you've brought them home, and then figure out the kinds of situations you can take them out into that aren't going to be too overwhelming, right? You know, if you've got a puppy that hasn't met a whole lot of kids, don't go stand at the gate at school finishing time and have hordes of kids swarm your puppy. Think about where is the success point? Where is my puppy going to be able to cope and be able to have fun and learn? And, you know, yes, it is about ticking stuff off, but you've got to kind of do it in a way that makes sure. Sorry, I'm just laughing because literally all the dogs around me have gone crazy.
Great, great timing.
Yes. Yes. So, taking your pup places, making sure they're okay in the car to take them to the places is also part of it.
That's going to be an important one, especially for people like for me who I have great dreams of having a nose work puppy. I mean, if that doesn't happen, that's fine. But you know, that's
what are you
where
talking
I'd
about?
like
If
to.
that doesn't happen, it will be a disaster.
No, it won't. He's first and foremost of my buddy. But yes, it would be nice to have a nose work sport dog.
Yes.
You know, that's the end goal. But however long he takes to get there, that's fine. And I do think having met him, I've spent a couple of days with him. He does have a few little sensitivities that I think are going to be really sort of fun to work through. I think he's going to need a lot of exposure and to nice people and nice dogs. And so far he's had that. That's sort of what I guess it's important to talk about how to introduce your puppy to different people and new people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when it comes to people, and if it's like, you know, you're in the beginning stages of socialization, you kind of need to have people that listen to what you say, and that you know what they're going to do with your puppy.
Because so many people just see a cute puppy and they run up to it and they, you know, rub its ears or grab its face or whatever, you know, they forget that puppies may be in a different environment. They're out. They haven't, you know, had that happen to them necessarily before.
It's like people see a puppy and think it's immediately, oh, I'm going to cuddle and squish and love on this pup. But actually, you kind of need to kind of say, hi, how are you first? You know what I mean? Like you kind of need to get the pup going, yeah, okay, let's be friends. They don't, it's kind of, a lot of people miss out that initial, hi, do you want to interact with me? Like that initial giving the pup a chance to have a say in the interaction.
And as soon as the puppy's out of the house, they're usually on a lead and they can't necessarily get away.
Exactly.
You know, when they meet new people in your own property, they're off lead and they've got the choice.
Yep.
And I think that's really important to keep in mind when you're out and about, that it's the puppy's choice to go up to someone.
Yep.
And making sure they're comfortable to do that. I also think it's the same with dogs. And I'm a big fan of dogs having their you know, their exposure to different dogs, but within their circle with dogs that you know how that dog is going to react.
Yep.
So I'd like to talk about meeting dogs because I know that's what everybody thinks. They just want to see their puppy off lead having fun with, you know, 50 dogs.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a it's a bit of a minefield because you want your pup to be that sort of really stable, awesome dog that feels really comfortable around whoever might be around. But it's really hard to get that because out in the world there's a lot of unpredictable dogs, and you also don't want your dog to have an inappropriate way of interacting with dogs. So it's twofold. Your pup, you don't yet know how socially skilled your puppy is, and you may not know how other dogs are going to interact with your puppy, right? So I think that you're right. To begin with, get as certain as you can. So find dogs who you know will be okay with puppies, and socialize with them. I also think it's usually fine to socialize with puppies of the same age. So, puppy classes and those types of things are good opportunities for your pup to just be around other dogs. So for me, when I think about how to get my dog to be a dog savvy social dog, I think it's about first and foremost creating positivity around other dogs. And when I say positivity around other dogs, it's not just play with another dog. Positivity might be playing with me around that other dog, right? Or it might be another dog means you get this really yummy food. Or it might mean that we watch dogs playing at the dog park from a distance and it's not that big a deal. So it's about creating a whole lot of socialization experiences that aren't just letting my dog go up and say hello to other dogs.
Yeah, and you sort of don't want it to be so overstimulating that your puppy can't think anymore.
Oh, totally.
I still want, I think that's really, you know, that would definitely one of my goals anyway, is that the puppy will still be able to, you know, think, make good choices in
Absolutely.
the environment of strange people, strange dogs.
So yeah, I mean, I like to tell my puppy classes that you got to think about three scenarios that you want your dog to be good at. One is that playful interaction with known dog friends. So that's like, off-leash play with stable dogs. Can your dog read body language? Can your dog engage in appropriate play in that situation? That's one aspect of puppy socialization. Secondly, can my dog be out and about in the world and do a polite sniffy greeting with other dogs? I actually really like, so I know that there's some people who are like, when my dog is on lead, they are never saying hello to another dog. And let me tell you that that was my approach with Rory. And Rory has obviously got a lot of anxiety and a lot of issues. Some of that is, inherently within him. But I also realized that when I socialized Rory, I had this expectation that we would only encounter polite people and polite dogs. But the reality is that people let their dog come up to you despite your best efforts. And I want my dog to feel safe if another dog gets in their face. So even though it's not my ideal and I don't necessarily want to encourage my dog to go up to other dogs and get in their face, I want my dog to have social skills to deal with that situation. So in my mind, that is teaching my dog how to do a polite sniffing greeting, which is kind of like a say hello, sniff a few seconds, and then I'll recall my dog away.
That's interesting you say that because I literally count, and Syrah is, you know, she's old now and she sometimes she likes to say hello, sometimes she doesn't. But just as a even it's old habit, I know when she stops to say hello to another dog in my head, I'm counting one,
One,
two, three, let's go.
yeah, absolutely. And it's such a nice skill to have in your dog if they can just say, oh, hey, dog, and then they just know to just move off calmly. I think that's really overlooked. When you have a baby puppy, though, you don't want to be practicing it with every dog you see. right?
No.
Like that's just crazy and asking for trouble. You know, when I have a baby puppy, I'm protecting them from negative experiences as much as possible. So, when I'm out and about, a lot of the time we don't interact. And so that's like kind of my big third category of interactions, which are we don't even go near other dogs.
Yep.
Another dog might be a cue to pay attention to me. It might be a cue to recall to me, come to me, get into heel position, whatever. But I want it to mean that some dogs are just no interaction completely.
Yeah, I think that's why it is so important to have well-behaved adult dogs around that your
Yes.
dog can learn from and interact
Yes.
with safely.
Absolutely.
Because they still need all that exposure to different dogs
Yeah.
during
And
that
like these
time.
things take time. Like it's not like you take your puppy out during this socialization period, say like the first couple of weeks and months, and then it's like, okay, I've socialized them, that's it. It's a process. Like your puppy is going to be going through adolescence and getting sort of weird social feelings and impulses and stuff throughout adolescence. I kind of think it's this, building that skill set and developing their socialization in all these different scenarios, it's kind of until they reach social maturity. You know, it doesn't just end when the puppy is out of this critical imprinting phase.
Yeah, and I guess my ulterior motive for talking about all of this is that I really would like to have a confident nose work dog. And all of these skills, I believe, if you know, I can do them correctly and will lead to that.
Absolutely, because if you think about what you need to be successful, you need to have a dog that is confident in novel environments, that is confident around strange people, and that can navigate the trial setting around other dogs. Like, yes, even if you're trialing an ACSW, your dog isn't going to be seeing other dogs whilst working, but it's going to have to, even if you're in the reactive dog car park, you have to be able to navigate around other dogs in the vicinity. So,
And I trial with a reactive dog and a non-reactive dog, and I tell you what, I'm so much more relaxed
yeah.
with my dog that isn't as reactive.
So basically, at this stage with the puppies we have, what I'm mostly looking for is curious exploration. I want them to feel curious about environments, curious about people, curious about dogs, and I don't want it to be reserved, hesitant. If it's that sort of feeling a bit worried, that means that I need to work on building a stronger positive association and perhaps go a bit slower and create opportunities for my pup to feel more confident around the thing that maybe they're feeling a bit hesitant about. And secondly, I don't want hyper excitement. I don't want a puppy who's like, you know, loses their mind when they see another dog. I don't want a puppy that, I mean, with our walkers, the thing that we have to be careful of is birds. Like, I don't want my puppy to not have any control around birds.
So what are some of your strategies? So for example, I encounter something like that while I'm out with my new puppy, do you have any strategies that you use to either distract them, get the attention back on you? What's your approach if it's, say, birds?
So if and it happens a lot, it still happens with Nettle. She met your quail and she lost her mind the other day. But basically, I will make a note of it, realize that if she's gone to the point where she's, you know, pulling on the lead, not listening to me, then it's simply a case of I need to get you away from this situation. So get distance. Maybe just remove yourself from the situation entirely,
There's zero
and find a
thinking going on.
point where you can get them to listen. So with the quail, with Nettle, I was like, what distance can we be where you'll listen to my treat toss cue? What distance can we be where you'll do a sit and then offer attention at me? So it's just kind of playing around with thresholds and intensity and figuring out the kind of base point where we have a little bit of you know, even-mindedness, not craziness, and then slowly working back up and seeing if we can get a bit closer and still keep control.
Okay, so that once again sort of comes back to progression, doesn't it? And you're always going to find things like that. You can't set your dog up for a win every single time.
No, it's like that's not realistic at all.
No.
And like, you know, I just want to end by saying it's totally fine if things go really haywire and things feel like they're out of control, 'cause like puppy raising is chaotic.
It's not an exact science, really,
No,
is it?
no.
Every puppy is so different.
So different. And like, if you ever feel uncertain or in doubt, I always go back to just find a way to have fun with your puppy. If you're smiling and laughing and your puppy's tail is wagging, then you can't be doing anything wrong.
Yes. Well, yes.
Too much. And I say this with like Nettle literally on the kitchen table, knocking over glasses of water. But
I can cut that out if
it's totally fine. I don't care.
want. Well, note, have fun with your puppies.
Yeah. Okay. And on that note, the baby puppies are looking at me. I think they need to go to the toilet. So I'm going to head off and take them to the toilet.
Excellent. Awesome. Well, thanks for that. Lots of food for thought. I need a socialization outliney plan thing for when puppy comes home to me. And otherwise, enjoy playing with the puppies.
I will, don't worry.